wonder how it looks from heaven at the first light of the day. I'm sure you start to hear their voices when a nation starts to wake. I wonder, do you hear their worries? Do you hear their hopes and fears? Have the things that people asked for really changed much through the years? For I was praying in that number, one voice amid the roar of many millions who were praying, just like millions gone before. When somehow you heard a whisper, a desperate call from me to you, I don't know why, but you were listening, and your answer made it through. Lord, I believe you're there and listening to our hopes and dreams and cares, and I'm amazed when I look back. And again, I don't know how you heard one voice, but you did.
Thank you, Lord.
With all the turmoil and confusion, all the desperate cries for help, well, I know you're busy up in heaven. So I keep things to myself, and when my load is grown so heavy, friends may lift my name to you. And when they pray, I soon discover that you're listening to them too. Lord, I believe. Coming to my rescue over and over again. I don't know how you heard one voice, but you did. You did. Somehow. You did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Over in Isaiah, the 29th chapter. Isaiah, the 29th chapter. Amen. Amen. Isaiah, the 29th chapter. Make sure everything else is off up here. Isaiah, the 29th chapter, starting verse number 9. He says, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver unto one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered unto him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Remember that one. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are most of all. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to hear the word of God. For Father, the word of God brings faith. It brings stability. It brings holiness. It brings righteousness. Father, this word is a cleansing agent, God, if we will obey it and apply it to our lives. And Father, we thank you this morning for the word that we're about to receive into our spirit, God. And Father, help us, Lord, to do the right thing with it. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of what we're talking about this morning is, what is your belief? It does not matter what the one sitting next to you believes. It does not matter what the preacher believes. It does not matter what your co-worker believes or your spouse believes or your parents believe or your friends, but it matters what you believe. Amen? What is your belief today? Here in Isaiah in the 29th chapter, the prophet stands amazed at the stupidity of the greatest part of the Jewish nation. If Isaiah was alive today, he would be equally amazed at the stupidity of the church world. Amen? See, I can talk about the church world because my mom and dad was pastors. I was brought up in the church. I have been in the church for a long time. Amen? Around the church. May not have been saved, but I was around it. And I'd seen things. Amen? And I know things. He says here that they had the Levites, or we had preachers or forefathers who taught the good knowledge of the Lord and had encouragement from Hezekiah, the king, in doing so. They had the prophets, Israel did, who brought them measures or messages immediately from God, fresh messages, and signified to them what were the causes or what would be the effects of God's displeasure against them, warning them, in other words. Now, one would think surely that this great nation of Israel that has all these advantages of divine revelation is a wise and understanding people. And you would think in the church world of having the history of the church world and some of the great men and women of God that we hear about and we've heard messages from and we still have their messages written down, that we would be a wise and understanding people in the church world. Wouldn't you think? It says, the Lord says through Moses in Deuteronomy in the 4th chapter in verse 5, it says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. Even the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Whenever we get away from the standards of God, we become ignorant to other nations. That's why so many nations around the world that used to look at America as a great country, as a country to be feared, that they're beginning to laugh at America and scratch their head at America. Why? Because America has gotten away from God. Because the church world has let down their standards. Amen. That's what they're doing. It says, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. It's what they would say. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? This is what God was saying through Moses, if you'll do what I'm leading you to do. Everybody said, what a great nation, because God is with them. As the Lord our God is all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous in all this law. The laws of America and our Constitution was based upon the principle of God, God's Word. Walk around. I've got a video we're going to be showing here with the seniors. I told her they could get it. And it's talking about how much God is in the Capitol up there on the buildings. Even in the Supreme Court, the Ten Commandments are carved in the stone in there. Amen. And yet you cannot hang it in a classroom in a school. Verse 9, it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest I forget, everybody say forget, the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. But what has happened in the world, people has forgotten what God was yesterday, and they've created their own gods for today. And people are being deceived. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. My friend, you better get to know what you believe. Because we're living in dangerous times in the world. Amen? And there's dangerous times even in the church world. So you better know what you believe. Amen? Isaiah goes on and he's talking here in the 29th chapter. He says, we may wonder that the generality of the people should be so sottish and brutish and so infatuated, as if they were intoxicated. He goes on, he says, they're drunken, but not with wine. They were drunk with the love of pleasures, with prejudices against true religion, with the corrupt principles they have embedded. Like drunken men, they know not what they do or say. You ever been around a drunk person? They don't know what they're saying and doing. They don't make a bit of sense, do they? Neither where they go, carry them anywhere. They're not sensible of the divine rebukes they're under. They have beaten me and I felt it not, says the drunkard. In Proverbs in the 23rd chapter, verse 35, it says, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me and I felt it not. When I shall awake, I will seek it yet again. That's what a drunk person is. They don't understand all the misery that they was in when they was drunk. And then when they get sober, they go and do it all over again. And that's what people in sin do. And when they would just say, if I can just get out of this situation, I'll never do this again. But what they do, they forget all about yesterday. And they're doing the same thing all over again. That's what happens in the church world. That if we don't remember, if we forget what God is, if we forget holiness and righteousness and what our forefathers taught us, then we'll be falling for the same old things tomorrow as we fall for today. Amen? That's what he's talking about. God speaks to them once, yea, twice, but like drunk men, they perceive it not. They understand it not. But forget the law. They stagger in their counsels, are unstable and unsteady, and stumble at everything that lies in their way. There is a such thing as spiritual darkness. Do you understand that? I'm almost finished with this. We'll go on. So listen. They do not make, listen to this, if you've not heard anything else, listen to this. They do not make the word of God the rule of their worship, nor will his reason. Their fear toward God is taught by the precept of man rather than of God. They worship the God of Israel not according to his appointment, but according to their own inventions. The direction of their false prophets, their idolatrous kings, are the usages of the nations that were around about them. That's what Israel did, and that's what America is doing. The ways of the world was more valuable and of validity with them than the laws which God commanded Moses. We can see it. Israel is an example. America needs to look at Israel. And the church world especially needs to look at Israel. Amen. Just because we call ourselves the church or we call ourselves Christian, if we get away from the principles and the doctrines of the Word of God, my friend, we're no different than the sinner out there. No different. Amen. God is so good to us all the time. We're living in the last days. How many believes that? Man, I see it more clearly every day of the last days we're living in. If you want to be saved, you better get saved right today. Amen. He says in Matthew, the 24th chapter, you'll read the whole thing when you get home. It's talking about here and warning Israel. I'm talking about the tribulation. He's warning Israel. But we know before any storm ever comes, we hear the thunder in the distance, don't we? We see the clouds forming. We feel the wind picking up a little bit. I feel the breeze of the storm coming. I see the clouds. I hear the thunder in the distance of the end, don't you? He says in Matthew 24 and 12, he says, and because iniquity shall abound. What is iniquity? Iniquity is lawlessness. It is wickedness. It is violation of law. It is illegality. And we see that in the church, because iniquity in the church shall abound or increase, is what that word means. The love of many shall wax cold in the church. People that believe in God will not believe in God as strongly. Their love and their fervency for God will not be quite as fervent. I'm sure in this building this morning, you can think of that many people on your hand. Five people that you know of that once was fervent in the things of God, that was unmovable, but now they have moved and changed. You can probably think of that many churches in the land. Right here, Matthew told it 2,000 years ago. In other words, wax cold is a reduction of temperature. It's gotten lukewarm. The church world, not as hot toward God. In other words, they've lost their first love. That's what he's talking about. The first love, they've left it. In Revelation of the church of Ephesus, they've left their first love. Matthew 24 and 24, it says, for there shall arise, what's that? False Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. Talk about Israel here, but it's talking about even us, those that we know what we believe. I mean, it'll be so strong that it will influence people that once was good. Amen. Once had the goods. I've seen it come through, this spirit of false Christ or antichrist and false prophets will come through and ruin denominations. It'll come through and says, well, this is today and you don't have to live like yesterday. But my Bible tells me that God is the same yesterday and today, and he'll be the same tomorrow. It is the people that change. You better know what you believe. You see, a false Christ and a false prophet sounds like a Christ and sounds like a prophet. He don't come and say, hey, I'm false Christ and I'm a false prophet. See, that's why it's important to know what you believe. They look like, they sound like, but it's a counterfeit. It's like a $100 bill that is counterfeit. You carry it to the bank thinking you got $100 and try to cash it into the bank. And the bank looks at it and they keep that $100 and says, nothing there. You've got nothing. Walking around all the time thinking you got something. And all the time you got nothing. And that's what a lot of people's salvation is. And they're based in that I think they think they're saved. They think they got the goods. And all the time they got nothing. I know what Jeremiah felt like. Are y'all with me this morning? I could have got up here this morning and said, I'll just do what feels good. You're saved. We're all going to heaven. And everything. We're going to get on a cloud and we're going to float for eternity on a cloud. And say, oh yeah, it's good. We got to get there first. Glory. God is so good to us. 2 Thessalonians, I don't know if she has a scripture. I'm going to just flip over here. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9. Listen to this. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Talk about Antichrist. With all power and signs and lying wonders. What did he say about false Christ and false prophets? He said the same thing, did he not? They must be of the devil then. Signs, power, and signs, and lying wonders. Oh, but their buildings are full. They're packed to the capacity. Signs and wonders and lying wonders and power. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the what? Truth. that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's God's word. I didn't make that up. Strong delusions in the church. That's why he said in Ezekiel, it's a familiar scripture. We covered this before. Listen to me. Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, verse 24. He says, "Son of man, say unto her, thou art a land that is not cleansed nor rained upon the day of indignation. There's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion." Now, where have I heard that before? I've heard it over in the book of Peter, 1 Peter 5 and 8. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He's talking about Satan. Raving in the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things like holiness and righteousness and sanctification. They've taken it out of the church. Oh, God. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God." Holiness is not the clothes you wear either. Listen. They've made many widows, killed a lot of people. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law, and they have profaned my holy thing. They have put no difference between holy and profane. Neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean. In other words, the church world has the Cain mentality. Everybody say Cain mentality. What is the Cain mentality? It means just any old thing will do. Go back in Genesis. Look at Cain and Abel. Said Cain just brought any old thing. Just whatever he had. Come as you are and leave as you were. Abel went out there and got the best he had. The fat of the flock that he had. The very best, why he's presenting it unto God. And I ask you, in your service toward God, are you presenting your best? Amen? I mean, I turn on the TV and I see preachers up there in old blue jeans, the holes in them, and an old t-shirt on, up there trying to preach the gospel. Man, bring your best before God. If a hole's all in your jeans and a t-shirt all ripped is the very best you got, that's wonderful. That's well and good. But I know good and well that man that's pulling down thousands of dollars a day, that he has more money than he could buy him a suit. I called a woman one time, or a lady called me rather. She just come here a little bit and she called me up about something or other. Singing was having or something. She got talking to me and said, "We're going to this other church." I said, "That's good." I said, "I'm curious about it." I said, "What do they believe there?" She said, this is honest truth now. She said, "No suits." Wait a minute, I'm talking about do you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died on the cross? Do you believe in sanctification and holy? What do you believe? No suits is all I know, no suits. Boy, aren't they educated? I call it ignorance. If somebody came to you and asked you, "What do you believe?" What would you tell them? How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? What do you believe? If you didn't know what to tell them, don't you come tell me if you've been coming here very long. Because I've been preaching my guts out trying to tell you. Now, if you're new, that's okay. Come on. Oh, help us, Lord. Let me go on. I won't get through this thing. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves raving the prey to shed blood and destroy souls to get dishonest gain. That's where it's at. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar. That's using all these new interpretations. They're not translation and interpretations. The so-called Bible, though, and watering down the preaching of the gospel, tipping toe through the tithers. Don't want to offend anyone. But I'm telling you, if I'm headed to hell, come on, if I'm at a house burning, I don't care what you got to do to get me out of that house. Do it. Get me out of that house. He says, dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies, and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," when God not even spoken. The people have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man like Isaiah, Ezekiel, or Jeremiah, or Daniel, or Nehemiah, or Joshua, or Moses, Paul. I sought for a man that would have enough backbone to stand up for righteousness and stand up for God. And he said, I found none. Somebody would stand in the gap that's in the hedge where souls are going through into hell, and preachers just won't stand up, and souls are dying going to hell. But God said, I'm looking for a man that'll stand up in that gap and said, no, repent. Preacher, you preach like you half mad. I am at the devil because he's lied to so many. I'm not angry at you. I love you. That's why I tell you the truth. It said in Galatians, listen, 6 and 7, he said, be not deceived, individual. Be not deceived, church. Be not deceived, America. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a church or a denomination or a nation soweth, that's what he's going to reap. America, don't look nowhere else. Look right here. Church, don't look nowhere else. Look right here. Individual, don't look nowhere else. Look right here. Amen? That's what he's saying. Proverbs in the 16th chapter, verse 25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, it seems right. We go to church. We got a Bible, some kind of book here. We sing Christian songs. But what do you believe? What do you believe? John in the 5th chapter, verse 39, Jesus told him, said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. How do you come to him? He said, Paul said in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I see so many in the church world that they say, I'm saved. I know you're not. If there's not been a change, there's not been a change. Amen. How many knows there's a change in you? Oh. But America and the church world looking for a new thing. See, the fair comes to town every year, and which one gets the most attention is that new ride. A restaurant comes to town, and which one gets the attention? That new one. Everybody looking for a new thing. Everybody say new thing. See, that's Georgia talk. New thing. Everybody looking for, even the church world looking for a new thing. Brother David, y'all sing the same old songs. We looking for a new thing. Brother David, you preach our same old book. We looking for a new thing. Well, I'm telling you, it's a living word. It's the newest thing available right here. Every book that is written and published was of yesterday. This book is today. Jesus said, today. It is fresh. Come on, it is new every day. Glory to God. Listen, they're looking for a new thing. Let me tell you, right change sometimes is good. Because when you get saved, you get changed. Looking for a new thing. Sometimes change, the right change is good, but the wrong change is bad. You got to know the difference, don't you? Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, it says, the thing that hath been done, or hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. In other words, whatever comes along, it's already been. I mean, Satan may package it in a different package, but it's the same old junk. It's the same old thing. Amen. Verse 10, it says, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things. That's the thing. That's why I was talking to somebody the other day. Was talking about tires. And the guy said, I got a real wide one at home. Real wide one. I said, you keep it. It'll come back around. Tires go skinny and they go wide. Fashions change. Amen. Somebody laughed at my old bell bottoms one time. Big old leg breeches, you know, back in the 60s. Come on. So, a couple of y'all around then. And they seen pictures of me and Sister Connie, them old bell bottoms out there like this in platform shoes. Y'all ever had some of them? Can y'all imagine Brother David platform shoes? And they laugh. I said, that's all right, laugh. They'll come back around. And lo and behold, a few years, they came back around. They come in and out. I mean, fashion. But it's the same old thing. But that generation, I ain't never seen nothing like that. Oh, yeah, we had it back in the 60s. It's amazing, isn't it? Oh, this is new. This is new because you don't know. See, there's no remembrance of the former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are come when tomorrow comes. Amen. Hebrews in the 4th chapter, verse number 3, he says, Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Everything was here already. From ain't nothing new. It's same stuff. Man just packages it a little different. It's same old thing. Amen. Same old thing. The works is finished from the foundation of the world. So the world would say today, and this is what is being said. Now, I want to look at fleshly, so to bring you to spiritually this morning. Can we do that? We look at it fleshly. In the economy of America today, everybody is saying, all the politicians and the ones that's up there with the microphone, they're saying, we ain't never seen an economy like this since the Great Depression. How many of you have ever heard? Y'all heard that lately? Y'all been hearing that? Y'all been hearing that? You know why they say that? It's because, Brother Michael, Sister, when was y'all born? 1978. Oh, y'all don't remember the 70s, do you? 79 over there. Oh, yeah, 79. She's about to cry over 30 years old yesterday. I'm twice that. I ought to be hysterical this morning. Sister Connie says, I am, yeah. Listen. They said, we ain't seen an economy like this. They blowing smoke. Since the Great Depression, we need to make these drastic measures. We need to do this. This is for today here because we ain't seen it since the Great Depression. Well, let me tell you, I was alive and well in the 70s. I remember well them long gas lines. Some of y'all in here remember them? Do y'all remember that? I remember well the interest rate was 18%. Can you imagine paying 18% on your home loan? I remember when that was in the 70s. I remember when unemployment was 13 to 15% when Jimmy Carter was handing out peanuts to everybody. I remember. But they're saying, we've seen something this bad since the Great Depression. Way back yonder. Come on. Blowing smoke. That's what they're doing in the church world. Because the people don't know in the church world, they're blowing the same smoke. This is the way you worship God today. And this is the way you live today. And this is the way. This is a new thing. Why? Because the majority of the people in the church don't remember what it was like back then. So they're easily deceived. Amen? Can you see the picture? Can you see the picture? But I still, listen to me this morning, I still believe in God. I still believe in holiness and righteousness. And I know that there's still some in the church world that still hold it on. Why? Because they remember. They remember what it was like. These Johnny come latelys that come along and say, holiness is not for today and righteousness and just do whatever you want to do and what feels good. And we just worship God in our own little ways. On them. Amen. That is not right. I still remember. I've been in church services when an uneducated mama like my mama that couldn't read and write, that the Holy Ghost would come on her and the power of God and all would secrete out of her hand and dripping in the floor and praying for people and they were healed. Why? Because they had holiness and righteousness. They loved and feared God. Thank you, Jeremiah. You ain't reading Jeremiah this morning. I know that. But I feel what he felt. Listen. All that generation has died off. People now are looking for something to believe in. It's new. Just anything comes along, they're deceived. They believe anything. Why? Because they don't know. They don't know what was around in the 70s. So therefore, the politicians of today can tell them anything and they'll, you're right. It's not as bad. And we ain't seen nothing like this before. Yeah, you hadn't, because you was born in the 78. You ain't seen it. You ain't seen gas lines. You ain't seen gas stations that open 2 hours a day. I was running a gas station then, I know. Where the government, listen to me, the government came in and told us how much gas we could sell. Had plenty of gas in the ground. Had tankers out in the water in the port. Didn't have nowhere to put it. I know, I was there. Don't you believe everything that comes along? Glory to God. Come on, Brother Dave. This is for today. Is this new thing, Brother Dave. If you just get with a new movement, Brother Dave, you still part your hair in the middle, Brother David. You still back in the 80s, man. You old fogey. Huh? Wasn't there? He parts his on the side. I parted mine on the side when I was a little boy. I'm going to leave it part in the middle because it'll come back. It'll come back. Mark my words. Hey, I was preaching one time. Listen, I was up here and I was talking about busting the sag and having to reach all down and having to walk around like this. And I said, look at here. I said, I guarantee you if one of the young person would start rolling one britchy leg up, just and I roll mine up and I don't see y'all. I won't blind you with these white legs here, but I said, if they just roll one up and walk around like at a school, it'd catch on. And sure enough, it wasn't a year later. I started seeing them walk around with one britchy leg rolled up. I said, sure the Lord, somebody got a CD or a cassette back then. Doesn't listen to that thing. That's an idea. That's a new thing. No, it ain't a new thing. When we was young, we had to wire them high waters. Come on, you had to wear brothers' breeches, didn't you? Come on. Sometimes they was dragging and sometimes they was up here. Come on, folks. Hand-me-downs. How many of them wore hand-me-downs? Ain't nothing wrong with hand-me-downs. Glory, glory, glory. Can you see him? Look. Can you see him? Brother David, if you just kind of let up, if you just kind of, I mean, this church would pack out. Especially if you just preach on Saturday and put it on overhead and won't even have to see you, just watch it on the screen, they'll pack out. Listen, can you see him? George Bailey in front of Potter. Potter's sitting up here in this big desk chair. And Bailey sits down in his little bitty chair over here. And he's looking up at Potter. And Potter starts giving him, this is in the picture, It's a Wonderful Life. From last Sunday, I remember. And Potter's looking at Bailey, and Bailey's at his wits' end. He don't know what to do. Even money's missing because his uncle misplaced it. He don't know. He's in shambles. He's worried to death. Somebody's going to think he stole it. And Potter catches him. And he says, "Looky here, Bailey, won't you just sell me that old Bailey lawn there and close it up? It ain't nothing, man, the little hole in the wall. It ain't nothing. Won't you just let me have it? Come work for me. I'll send you. Look here, you wanted, always wanted to travel. I'll send you to New York. How would you like you and your wife to go to New York?" And he gave him a big old cigar. And he was at that big old cigar. And he's thinking New York. He said, "Look here, maybe once a year I'll send you to Paris. Oh, Paris. Oh, yeah. He said, I'm going to think about this. He's already wanting to agree, but I'm going to think about this." And he reaches out to shake Potter's hand. And he shook Potter's hand. And he felt the filth and the garbage and the rebellion and the coldness of doing what's right for what's wrong. And he pulls his hand back and he begins to wipe it off. And he says, wait a minute, Miss Potter. I ain't got to think about it. You sat around here and trying to weave things. I ain't got to think about it. That little Bailey alone down there is what feeds people. Let me tell you, this word of God is what gets people saved and holiness and righteousness. I don't want to change. Don't want to change. Are you with me? Joshua 24:31, it says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had," what's that word? "Known all the works of the Lord." And when the Bible talks about known or knowing, like Adam knew Eve, it means he had a relationship and experience with her. They handled the things of God. They worked the things of God. They knew the things of God. They experienced it. They knew what it was. Judges 2:7. "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua," who had, what's that word? Seen. This was the children of them. They sat on the church pews and they watched mom and daddy work the gifts of the Holy Ghost, work the works of God. And they sat there and they saw, just like I was telling you when I was a little bitty boy sitting on the pew, I saw these things. I saw people running at the top of the pew. I saw these things. Verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered to the Father, and there rose another generation after them who knew not the Lord." That was the children of those that seen. And those that seen never did anything. They just lived off of what their mom and daddy lived. And when they died, the truth of the gospel died with them. And then the false prophets and the false Christ came in and can tell them anything because they don't know. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Hosea 4:6. Amen. They say, let me ask you, is there anybody in here this morning that was living back in the Depression, the Great Depression, Great Depression? Anybody? No, nobody in here. Well, how do we know what it's like? Well, we see them with long lines. They had long lines in the 70s. They talk about how bad our economy is. They draw you this picture. And you're thinking, oh, it's terrible, it's terrible. When you leave here, they go to a restaurant, you have to stand in another line to get in. We went to a restaurant last night. We got there at early bird special, 4:30. Had to wait an hour to sit down and eat. I ain't talking about Hardee's. I'm talking about a restaurant where got the early birds, it's only about $12, $13. But if you didn't, it's $20 and $30 meals. We left there, couldn't find a park, had to park on the side of the road. People are when we was leaving. Came back by there after went to Best Buy, and they was parked down two roads trying to get in there, paid $30. We in bad shape, ain't we? People is hurting. Barely can afford $30 for each meal. Cost you $100 to go eat. We're hurting in America. We're hurting. It's the Great Depression. Oh, God, if people just open their eyes. Help us, Lord. None of us in here was living in the Great Depression, right? What was that, the end of the 20s there, wasn't it? 29. Wow. Think about it for a second. What happened when the 20s rolled in? They call them the Roaring 20s. Dun, 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 dun. Ladies with them short dresses, they're partying down. They forget all about God. They forget standards. They forget holiness. The Roaring 20s are here. Wow, let's party. Brother Dave, what happened in the 70s then, Brother David? I was living in the 60s. Hippie time, man, flower child, love, free love, orgies, drugs, man, live it up. The 70s. Come on, open your eyes. Oh, God. Are y'all with me? Listen. 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, verse 7, Paul's talking about Exodus in the 32nd chapter, verse 6. He says that they sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Huh? They sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. What does play mean? Mock. Mock. They rose up to mock God. Remember prophet Elisha? He was bald. There was a group of kids, when he saw him coming, they went to pointing at him and laughing at him. Said, go up, old bald head. In other words, like Elijah went up in the chariot. Go up, old bald head. Go up. And a she-bear came out of the woods and eat all 42 of them. It's in the Bible. That's what people are doing today. And they're mocking God and laughing God. Said, God, ain't no such thing as God. And we do what we want to. I'm almost finished by another half hour. Now, hold on. I hope I can get through this. Listen. How many believes we're living in the last days? Paul talked about it in Timothy. The last days will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Last days. He talks about it in the gospel. Jesus does. Said it'll be as the days of Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and no doubt, listen, no doubt he preached. If he's a preacher, he had to preach righteousness. But I ask you, how many people came and helped him build the ark? How many people stuck with him because he was a preacher of righteousness? I'm persuaded to believe that there was groups of religion around that was unrighteous and unholy, and people flocked to him because there's no new thing. It was the same thing then. In the days of Noah, there was man and giving in marriage and building and buying and selling and doing, in other words, business as usual and forgetting all about God. Pull out of my driveway this morning. I pulled out in the truck coming out, had their boat behind them, had all the rods sticking up. They headed to the water. No time for God. I commend you this morning for making time for God. God will bless you. It's the first day of the week. Amen. They were married and giving them just business as usual, forgetting all about God. It was leaving God out, the same as Sodom and Gomorrah, doing ungodly things, forgetting God's laws, homosexuality, lesbianism, raving in Sodom. We know the story. It says, Paul said in Acts in the 17th chapter, for those who are taking notes, verse 21, she might have it. It says, the Athenians and the strangers spent all their time to tell or to hear some new thing. And that's what the church people, they're looking for a new thing. They have big meetings with big pastors, big name pastors, big churches, you know. And they say, come on, let's get some new thing going. Show us what you're doing in this new thing. Why don't we just humble ourselves and pray and get back to what God would have us to be. Get God in the arrangements. Genesis 6 and 3, those coming in, Genesis 6 and 3 says, my spirit shall not always strive a man. Verse 5, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination and thought of the heart was only evil continually. Sounds like today, doesn't it? I told you it's no new thing. That was back in Genesis. It's no new thing, is it? Same old thing. It says in Daniel in the 12th chapter, verse 1, listen, at that time shall Michael stand up. We're living in the last days. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to the same time. And at the time of thy people shall be delivered every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness to the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. We're living in that time. Amen. We're living in the time when knowledge has been increased. The last 100 years, so much of knowledge. Man seems to be so smarter than all them thousands of years that people walked everywhere. Now we ride and fly. We pick up a phone and call somebody over in China today. It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? It's been here all the time. But God turned up the knowledge. Why? To bring in the tools that Antichrist will need. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 5, it says, then I, Daniel, looked and behold, there stood two. One on one side of the bank and the other of the river, and the other on the side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man, clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. Talking about Jesus Christ upon the waters with his people. He's above every person. Amen. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I beheld the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. When he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time. Everybody put up one finger. Times, put up two more fingers. And a half, put up a half a finger. How many is that? Three and a half. Three and a half. And he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying that Daniel said in the ninth chapter that 70 weeks were determined upon God's people. He's talking about here, this 3.5 years is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Before the tribulation takes place, the church is going to have to be raptured. Now, he's not talking about every church person that's in a pew this morning, but he's talking about the people that's got their name written in heaven. That's the church. Putting your name on the roll of Deliverance Tabernacle won't get you to heaven. Putting your name on the roll across the street of that church won't get you to heaven. Walking the aisle won't do it, but having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life will get you there. He said 70 weeks are determined. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in the everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision of prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks. 77 year periods. That's what he's talking about. Catch it. Now therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. If you do the math, 7 weeks or 49 years it took Nehemiah to build the wall around Jerusalem. 62 more weeks past 400 and whatever it is, I had it wrote down somewhere. If you multiply 7 times 62, it comes out from the time that the wall was finished to Jesus dying on the cross. Add them together, 69 weeks. And after 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Having a hurry. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. Verse 27, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant for many for what? 1 week. What we're doing is when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he uttered out the words in John 19:30, it is finished. He died. God's time clock of judgment of Israel, God's people, or Daniel's people with Israel, upon Israel stopped. And the time of the Gentiles, that's me and you, started. Amen. It's called grace. Everybody say grace. It's grace. God's judgment time clock stopped.
at 69 weeks, only got 7 more weeks or 7 years left to fulfill in this prophecy, and it will be fulfilled. And this is a grace period we're living in. And until the rapture of the church, that clock will not start. But I believe that the clock master has got his hand on the clock, because I believe the rapture is about to take place. I see it all around. I see the signs are here. And he's going to come up, like I said in Revelation 4 and 1, come up hither. Amen. And the church is going to leave out of here. And when he does, the clock is going to start back. Amen. This time clock of judgment will start back of 7 years. And Antichrist will have all the words of peace. He'll have all the answers. Come on. Oh, but we in America will stand up to him. With what? America's almost a laughing stock now. America's not mentioned in prophecy. That's why America has got to go down, my friend. And America's going down because it owes more than it can ever pay.
You better get right with God. Antichrist will have all the answers. Israel and peace and Middle East and everything's fine. And in the middle of the week, he'll stand up in the synagogue and he'll say, I am God. You take my mark or I'll take your head. He said, is that going to be worldwide, his reach? I ain't going to be here. But let me tell you, World War II, it never landed over here in America other than Hawaii, but they say it was tough here in America when war was over there. I can only imagine. All the preachers are gone. Come on, show me this book. You're a learned person. I don't know what to see. You're an unlearned person. I don't know it because I'm unlearned. Show me the way. Where's the way? I don't know it. I am God, you'll worship me, Israel. It's to bring Israel back toward God for Abraham's sake. Are you ready? We're about to take out of here, church. We're about to take out of here. I'm looking forward to the trip. Are you ready to go today? I'm prepared to go. Aren't you? Are you prepared to go? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. After the 7 years, we know we come back for the Battle of Armageddon, Antichrist defeated, 1,000-year millennial. Then Satan loose for a little season, Gog and Magog, Battle of Gog and Magog, White Throne Judgment, Judgment of Sinners. We're going to see all, be part of all this. We'll be behind the Lord at the judgment of the sinners as witnesses. Oh, I'm telling you, I wouldn't miss this for the world. A lot of people missing it for the world, but I wouldn't miss it for the world. Are you ready? I want to ask you this morning, what do you believe? What do you believe? I've given you the truth this morning. What do you believe? Are you ready to go this morning? I'm going to ask you to stand just a minute. The rapture church is about to take place. Everything is lined up. To me, as a believer, it is happening so fast. It's like I'm caught in a whirlwind. Everything is lining up so for the end. It is just so amazing. I have never seen it this way before. Russia and China this week, along with India, Africa, a couple other nations, are called for one world currency. Any of y'all hear that? But here's the kicker. Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary of the United States, they asked him about it. He said, I'm open to that idea. What are you saying with that, Brother David? I'm saying, listen, America owes more money than any other nation. That's how much debt we're in. They're still spending like crazy. They'll come to you with this one world money, And they'll say, we'll buy your United States Treasury bill. It ain't no gold. That's just a little note. We'll give you a nickel on the dollar. How about that? Nickel on the dollar. How about that? You say, no way. I'll just keep mine. Can't spend it. Well, it ain't worth the, it ain't worth the paper that it's written on. But we'll give you a nickel on the dollar. We're really gracious. We'll give you a nickel on the dollar. I ain't doing that.
Daddy, I'm hungry, Daddy. Daddy, I'm hungry on something to eat. Oh, darling, what we're going to do? We're going to have to do something.
I know y'all won't be here then.
The babies are hungry. The grandbabies are hungry. I hate to give us up for a nickel on a dollar, but okay, I'll do it.
No, we've changed now. It's 3 cents.
What? No. I ain't going to do that, Daddy. I'm hungry. Papa, I'm hungry.
See if I could hear him. It's how close it is. Are you ready? You know, there's something worse than going to hell. It's going to hell and carrying your children with you, your loved ones. Of course, there's something better than going to heaven, too. Going to heaven and carrying your children and loved ones with you. How about this morning? What do you believe? Are you prepared? Are you ready to stand now? He sought for a man to stand. Will you stand? Come on. Stand with us all over and move. Come on. You need to pray this morning. Come on. Lord, I want to make sure I'm right today. God, I want to make sure. I don't want to miss heaven, Lord. I want to carry my loved ones with me. You need to pray this morning. You need to talk to the Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world.